It is the midnight between the day of the snake and the day of the catamount, an exquisite time for larceny in the city of the Black Toga. Tonight, the wealthy caravan master, Igric of the East, is throwing a lavish masque in his stylish manor adjacent to the aristocratic quarter in Lakmar. The purpose of this masked party is to unveil another one of the objets d'art he has accumulated in a desperate bid to buy his way into Lakmar's polite society. With the eyes of the host, his guests, and more importantly, his house guards, occupied by this new glittering bauble, it is the perfect time to raid his vault for another treasure, the so-called Key of the Unwitnessed Sisterhood. This electrum and gold item is said to be encrusted with curiously cut gems, jewels that could fetch a small fortune if pried loose and sold in the shadowy underworld of Lakmar. Unfortunately, it seems that each of you wasn't alone in realizing that tonight is the perfect time to steal the key. You now find yourself standing in the cellar antechamber leading to Igric's vault, not alone as you'd hoped, but in the presence of one another. Quick glances make it obvious that you're here on similar business, and hands rest on dagger hilts warily, and spells are being prepared under your breath. However, before you have a moment to respond to each other's unexpected presence, yet another party makes their appearance on the scene. The thunderous tread of booted feet down the cellar stairs announce the arrival of hired bravos from Lakmar's Slayer's Brotherhood, likely employed by Igric to bolster his security on this night. "Thieves in the cellar!" one leather-clad hired sword exclaims upon sighting you. "Let's earn our coin, brothers," he cries as he and his comrades in steel bare blades and charge. So there's hired bravos from the Slayer's Brotherhood thundering down the stairs into the cellar. You're all standing there looking at each other, and presumably you look at each other and go, "Well, shit, we better fight these guys." So everyone roll initiative.
Okay, I got 9. That's not good.
9.
And so began the average career of Iphilus the Thug with a 9. Okay, so there you go. We've rolled really crap initiative. We're going to get roasted.
What did Chris get?
7.
He got a 7.
7. Jeez, that is Chris. Crap. Right, so you're all standing there and you're also shocked by the arrival of each other and your presence, that you really only snap out of it by the time the bravos have actually made it down the stairs and running at you with swords drawn, and they get to attack.
What's
first.
Their initiative? Really? They got a better initiative.
13.
Bastards.
13.
Let's earn our coin, I think was the expression.
Let's earn our coin.
Actually, well, let's kill them and take their coin.
One of the greatest historical rallying cries to combat I've ever heard.
Let's earn our coin, brothers.
Even better. No. Let's not earn our coin. Let's go away and earn and get paid for not earning it. The fuck?
Somehow I think that doesn't fall their initiative.
Okay, the first hired bravo buffhead goes for Andrew, or I should say Farfid, goes for Farfid, and strikes at you with his sword in a sort of, you know, inexpert fumbling kind of way, and he rolls an 18. To your great shock, you've actually been hit by a blow from this thickhead, and he does 1d6 damage.
Ouch.
He does 1 point of damage. I'm not lying. Look.
Thank God.
Lucky man.
14.
Okay, Jesus. The next one goes running towards Chris and strikes at you, flailing, and gets a 10.
That's a miss.
That's a miss.
Yeah.
Right, somehow you managed to block it with your longsword. And I'll one goes for you. And gets a 13.
Oh, damn.
That's a hit, isn't
it? Yeah, well, like this could be it for Iphilus. He's only got 4 hit points.
Oh, shit. 2!
Oh.
Yes, he survives!
Half dead!
quest.
How many of these people are there?
There's 3 of them. 1 each.
Jesus
Christ.
Right, do we get a round now?
Yes, you do.
If these artificial dice keep on rolling shit, I think we should roll our own.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Well, they shouldn't. Apparently there's some unbelievably complex special algorithm that makes them particular.
That's what they say, but I don't believe it.
Okay, well, then I'm going to attack the one who attacked me, and I'm going to hit him with my dagger.
Well, you're a thief. You've only got a dagger.
I'm a thief. I've only got a dagger, so I'm going to whip my dagger
out.
I'm going to... Well, I don't need to. I'm in close combat with the guy. If I could get around behind him, I'd do a backstab, but I don't think that's going to be an option somehow, so I'm just going that's to attack him. Though. And I need to roll a d20, correct? A two.
A two.
Two, that's a shit roll. It's only one off a fumble.
Yeah, okay.
Yep, so I whip the dagger out and slash at his face, miss entirely, and almost fall over into bashing my head on one of the ham hocks hanging from the ceiling.
Okay, so this sort of spotty kind of guy with big gaps in his teeth who's fighting you just gives you this evil grin because he realizes that you're stuffed and that, you know, he obviously picked the right guy to fight.
We'll see about that, Sonny Jim.
All right, Chris, what you going to do? Make it count. I don't know if you can handle another round of their attacks.
All right, so I'm rolling a d20?
Oh, it's an 18.
Let's roll 1d8, minus 1.
Why is it minus 1?
Oh, what no the damage. Hell? Fuck. My strength.
No, you rolled it at 1.
What?
You always do 1.
Or 1 damage.
You do 1 damage. Oh, dear. Oh, God. So
this is going to be a very short adventure.
This really is. These guys are supposed to be easy to kill. What the fuck's going on?
Right, we're shit. Andrew. I told you that when we rolled up these characters. We are shit.
Something to do with the dice. It's no fun if you're really powerful straight away, Will.
You know, consider these guys are supposed to be pretty weak. You might be able to just kill one of them with a decent blow. Yeah,
that's what
I haven't
thinking.
Managed to. I haven't landed a blow yet, and Chris landed a blow which did no damage. So yeah, we're relying on you, as usual.
Okay. At the moment, they're all grinning and laughing because they think that this is going to be easy kills. And they're, you know.
Do I roll it?
So you're not declaring a deed. You're just doing a normal roll, right? Excellent. Now, you have to call your name. Oh, you did call it something. That's fine. Yeah,
I called it. It's Ugly Fucking Skull Split and Brain Split and Slicey Thingy. Also known as Arsibus Slit.
This is your battle axe.
I thought we rearranged the letters of that and turned it into a really good acronym.
Well, I've ended up with Afra Split, but...
Afra Split.
Yeah, that rolls off the tongue.
Now it
it's
does.
It's more than Ugly Fucking Skull Split and Brain Slicey Thingy. Although, having said that, okay, so that one
it's going to be a long game.
Two guys rolled, but 14. Only one showed up.
Oh, 14. Yep. Yeah. Nicely done. Yep, you give him a big bash with your battle axe, and suddenly his grin goes to a slightly chagrined expression of extreme pain.
Of chagrin.
Sorry, it's been a while.
Okay.
Got to get into the flow.
I'm rolling a die 10, plus 1 for damage from my strength modifier.
Correct.
Plus the 3 from my D dice.
Correct.
That's 1 die 10 plus 4.
You do 1 die 10 damage. Wow.
Plus 4.
Battle axe.
7.
7. You cleave the guy from nave to chops.
One down.
So, classic ugly scene. Fucking... They come running forward. They just, you know, have to. They hack into both Will and Chris. No, it didn't hit Chris, did it? But, you know, they're fighting back with a dagger and doing nothing, and you're just attacking back with. What were you attacking with, Will? Oh, you had a dagger. Chris had
the dagger,
sword,
long sword.
Both ineffectual. They're all laughing, and then suddenly Andrew, Farfir just lifts up his battle axe and goes, slices him through the shoulder. Entrails go out onto the ground.
Blood everywhere. Is there a morale test at this point?
And we say, earning your coins, boys.
Earn this, asshole.
Take this to the bag.
Oh, no. Right, they look at each other with sort of...
Don't spend it all at once.
But then their faces change into one of resolve, and they continue to attack.
Yeah, of course. Mercenaries are full of resolve.
Yes.
Okay, so is it now initiative?
No, we've got initiative. You only do it once at the start of the round.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So they go now.
They go now, yeah.
Okay. Well, here we go, boys. It might be goodbye this round. You never know.
Roll the start of the encounter. Yes, it is. Okay, first one goes for you, Will. It's an 8.
Woohoo!
Dodge and misses.
Obviously disturbed by the complete emasculation and evisceration of his companion. His blow
maybe
is
maybe he's blinded by the spray of blood across his eyes.
Okay, the other guy lunges with his sword to you, Chris. I should say, sorry, what's your name? TBD or something?
Yep, TBD.
TBD.
And your cast is 11, and he rolls. Oh, a 2!
Dodge!
I obviously have been disturbed.
Your check's in the mail, motherfucker!
Now, was... Because with the way this started, I didn't really have a lot of...
Oh, no, he already said that. Sorry.
Do I have a torch in my hand? I have torches. Did I have one in my hand? Or was I sneaking around in the dark?
You would have been sneaking around the dark. There's only candles in here. There's enough to see in, but it's very shadowy corners. But
okay.
No, you wouldn't have.
All right.
And especially well, then, being a thief. No, you wouldn't have been walking around with a torch.
Okay. Is there any way, as a thief, I can... just disappear into the shadows? Run away, in effect?
Brave Sir Rob, but run away.
I've only got 2 hit points.
Away.
I'm quite happy to bravely run away because I've only got 2 hit points.
I don't suggest it because if you withdraw from an active melee, your opponent gets a single free attack.
Yeah, okay, there's that one. I was hoping you wouldn't say that. Okay, well then I guess we just have to rely on the old dagger attack.
Ah.
And here we go. 9. I suspect
9.
That's not good enough.
No, unfortunately your dagger lunge, he manages to evade completely. Right, TBD.
Just contemplating whether I should try and enlarge my comrade. No, I think I'm committed to swordplay at the moment, realistically. Okay, so I'm going to have a hack with the sword. 1d20.
So
right?
Alien having a wizard with a sword.
No, apparently I can be trained in long swords and staffs.
Yep.
1d20 plus minus 1.
Oh! Oh, so good!
That's so close. A shocker! Oh, no! Right, Andrew, you better show them how it's done.
Okay, so I'm doing...
Come on, we want another cleave from Knave to Chops.
Yes. Which one? Who's am I going for? Who's am I closest to?
I don't know. Let's say it is Chris.
15.
Oh, there we go.
Plus 3, 18, 20.
So you've got 3 probably... twice. Oh,
yeah, that's
20,
pretty cool.
No, you need a natural, don't you? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah, that's
how much
a natural
damage point. Do you do?
So what I do is 1d10
plus 3.
Plus 3, 4.
Yeah, bit of a power imbalance here.
That's 8.
Oh. Okay, so pulling your battle axe out of the flesh of this guy, you bring it up to pull it out of the body and then just swing it around over to your side without even looking. You're still looking straight ahead. You just swing it around. And because the resistance of it coming out of his body was so great, you weren't expecting to put as much oomph behind it. And it just goes slicing the head off TBD's opponent.
Are you actually rolling on a critical hit table here?
No.
No, he's just making
just
it up. He's
the destruction.
just making it up. Okay, because they do have critical hit tables.
Yeah, but these weren't critical hits. This was just the movement of the blade.
Oh, okay. Right. Non-critical hits.
Okay, the last guy looks absolutely terrified. You just see sweat break out on his face. He's got a complete look of horror. And he turns around and makes a sprint for the stairs. You get a free shot at
him. Well, you got a free shot.
He broke away from you.
Oh, yes, I get a free shot. Okay, here we go.
And
oh,
you're backstabbing.
Stab him in the back.
I'm going to go for a
second. Oh, it's a natural 20.
Oh,
critical.
Beautiful.
So that does 1d10 damage plus a critical hit.
Okay, let's check. You get...
Never turn your back on a thief.
That's right. 6 yep. damage.
Okay, roll a... what's this? What do you roll? A d20 on the critical hit table. So roll a d20 on...
One.
Oh.
One. The strike misses the critical organs. You inflict a paltry 2d3 damage with this strike.
A paltry?
Paltry
2d3.
Nice.
Oh, three damage.
Three damage.
Plus the four.
Plus the four.
No, this isn't plus the four. Oh, yeah, it is plus, yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, I did four. So the guy turns around with this look of horror on his face. He turns around, runs from the stairs, and you just lunge forward, and you manage to get the dagger straight into his kidney, and he goes, ah, oh, falls to the ground and bleeds out.
Excellent. While he's bleeding out, I cut his throat.
All right, I pull back.
Why? Why?
Just
him,
because
why
I can.
Him benefit? Let him bleed out. It's so much more fun.
No, I just don't want him to make any. I don't want him to make any noise and alert people.
That entire altercation took about 15 seconds. It was just like it was over.
Quickly, we
I come up with my hands bloody and turn to the other two and say, "So I guess you're here for the key of the unwitnessed sisterhood, aren't you?"
No, I was just here to kill a few people.
Good. In that case,
I'm going
mind if I just take it then. Bye.
And then I'm just looking for toilet paper.
No, it's all gone. He's rich, but he's not that rich.
There's ham hocks, there's, you know.
Yeah, but no toilet paper.
Is there, I'll nick up the stairs, is there a door at the top of the stairs?
There is a door at the top of the top of the stairs, yes.
Was it open from them or is it closed?
Which way does it open? Inwards or outwards?
It opens inwards towards you.
Inwards. Yeah.
Right, okay, so I'll close that. Does it have a bolt?
Not on the inside, no.
Right, okay, well, I'll just close it.
Okay.
How did we, sorry, can I ask a question? How did we get in here?
Well, this is the thing. This is where you can explain to each other how you actually did get in. So what's going on outside? As you close the door, Ivris, you close the door and you hear the sounds of the party outside. So outside, there's basically a lot of people milling around in their finery. They've got masks on, you know, just sort of little masks, and having a big, rich people's good time. And you can explain to each other, if you like, not only what you look like, but how you got into the, how you managed to sneak your way in and get into the basement. And if it's very good, you might get a point of luck for it.
Well, I'm standing at the top of the stairs. I'll come down and say to both of them, well met, strangers. We're still alive. Thanks to you, Big Lout. What's your name?
Farfiet.
Farfiet.
I'd like to come.
Was that fart beard?
I slowly get my axe out. Seriously?
Fart beard. Farfiet, of course. Well, I'm...
I think I heard the Mingol accent. You didn't quite get it.
Yeah. Farfiet, I'm bored.
Well,
except, would I be speaking like Chinese?
Well, you're Mingol.
Well, yeah,
so
you're
speaking
you're
like
a Mongol.
I'm a Mingol Mongol. I don't even know what they spoke like.
Mongol. Whereas I'm from the
an Irish ire.
I have to speak with the Finnish accent. So my name is Iflis. Iflis.
Tell you what, let's do without the accents. I won't do accents if you guys don't do accents.
I keep the accents. They're good.
Oh, they're awful.
Are you? Anyway. And who are you? With you with the sword.
TBD?
Oh, sorry. With the sword.
I was thinking.
I like him still standing holding a sword. Ah, I am TBD. Thank you for killing the guy next to me, Mr. Farfield. I think I've heard of you. I think I've heard of you. But I'm not sure. I can never seem to make up my mind. I heard this story about, the treasure to be sought. And I thought I'd come and see what the story was, see if I could find something about it. And I stumbled in here originally looking for toilet paper, but there is none available.
May I make a suggestion at this point? I think we've all come here for one thing. I think we need to find it and we need to get out of here
and then we can discuss whether there is honor among thieves. But if we dally here for too long, we will all die. They will send more of these thugs, and whatever the strength of Farfeard's axe, I trust it more than my dagger. And by the way, I'm bleeding out here myself. I've only got 2 hit points left. So I think we should find the key of the Unwitness Sisterhood, and then we can go and divide the spoils and unpick the gems from the gold-encrusted crap and sell it to the fence that I know, who's a very good friend of mine. What do you say?
That remains to be seen. That remains to be seen, but I'll join you.
What I was going to say is, Peter, are the guards in any sort of uniform?
No. No, they're just guys. They're just hired bravos from the Slayer's Brotherhood, so they don't have a uniform.
Is there anything that looks like, if we just wandered out looking like them, that we'd distinguish ourselves? Have they got anything to make themselves look recognizable as party thugs?
No, there's no insignia or anything, but I presume the fact that they're sort of dressed like, you know, thugs makes everybody just ignore them because they're just hired thugs.
Fair enough. So I think if we just hide these guys, and I'll show you how I got here in the process. If you may not realize, but a lot of these places have sewers running under them, and you may smell me and realize how I got in. And so I take them near the back, and there's a sewer running underneath this place, and I smacked away, and there's a little bit of flagstone gone at the very back in the dark where it's quite whiffy. And so we just throw the bodies after taking off any of the their weapons or anything useful, their coin that they've earned.
Yeah, well, what have they got? Let's search the bodies. Hang on, I'll tell you what. While you guys search the bodies and just chuck them down into the sewer, and I'll go and find the key of the Unwitnessed Sisterhood, because it's got to be here somewhere.
It's not going to be in the cellar.
I'll describe the cellar in a moment, and then you'll have more clues.
I'd be immensely surprised if it was kept in this scummy cellar that's accessible by 3 yobs like us. Upstairs, up in the party or in his special rooms or something is where it's got to be. And so we're going to get rid of these guys, pretend to be...
No, you actually know it's down here.
Oh, it is down here in the cellar.
It is down here. Yes, it is. That's why you've all moved down here. I will in a moment describe this room, but I just want to go through it and get a visual picture of what each of you look like. And just tell me how you got through this aristocratic party and into the cellar. Andrew's already given an explanation.
Okay.
And, you know, you're trying to give entertaining stories here. And, you know, the pressure isn't on. If you haven't got an entertaining story, that's fine. But just come up with something and then just describe what you look like so that all of us know what you look like. And
I sort of look a little bit like what that picture is. I mean, he's a little bit more noble than I am, but... I got him for the axe, but I'm a Mingol. I dress like a Mingol. I'm not particularly big because Mingols aren't that big, but I'm tall enough to do damage.
Broad in the beam.
Broad in the beam, but not, you know, overly high. You know, just at the 6-foot level, broad, but I'm a Mingol.
Well, I am short, very, very thin, almost anorexic, owing to not having eaten for a very long time. Dressed in dark, fairly shitty, close to rags, really, generally. But in this particular case, to get in here, I mugged one of the staff and stole their clothes and pretended to be a waiter or someone working in the kitchen and got in there and slipped away at an appropriate moment once the party had started and crept down into the cellar. So I'm in a black and white waiter's outfit at the moment.
Excellent.
With a very hungry look. Do you have you kept your original clothes? Yes, but I don't have them on me at the moment. They're all of my gear except for my dagger and my blackjack. I couldn't really bring the grappling hook, could I? I've got.
No, I knew there was a slight problem with my plan, my cunning.
I've got my armor on underneath. I've got my dagger and my blackjack, and I've actually combed my hair to try and look vaguely respectable. And I'm in the clothes of the guy I mugged, who's now unconscious in an alleyway outside the back of the joint.
Right.
So having been blackjacked sort of, on the back of the head. You're like the classic criminal who has dressed himself in the waiter's outfit and looks vaguely disheveled and sort of disreputable.
Yep, he's the one guy who didn't shave that morning.
Excellent.
All right.
And everyone's going, where now, do they get this star from?
I'd just like to point out, Andrew, that your entry from the sewers was a one-way deal. You can't go back that way. Just by the way it works.
Fair enough.
I mean, obviously you can send corpses down there who are already dead, but you'd probably kill yourself if you went back that way. Chris, what do you look like?
Well, I'm of average height, very clean cut, very professionally presented, nice clean beard, nice little pointy beard, you know, quite dark hair, dark eyes, brooding kind of look, obviously intelligent. And I met this girl. Turns out that she speaks Eva, Emma, and C as well. And I mean, what are the odds, right?
I mean, you like can't even speak it. You can't even pronounce it.
Requires some practice. Anyway, reputedly, she's the daughter of a local noble, and I found myself at the party and heard her story and managed to say, excuse me while I just go and grab a drink. And
you cunning dog.
Nice.
I'm not sure if she's the one. She might be the one. She might be the one, but she may not be the one. It's to be determined.
Not after this, she won't be.
No, it's to be determined.
Would she be beginning to wonder, or she just knows that you're a tart?
That's to be determined.
So, Chris, what are you wearing?
Yeah, and I mean that in a most uninterested way.
Yes. I'm wearing padding in all the right places. And a modest but relatively expensive looking blue coat and pants to match.
Excellent.
With nice shoes.
Excellent.
That I bought with me from the school. It looks a bit like a school uniform, but if you wear your hat just so.
Chris is dressed in a nice sort of blue suit, a bit sort of Hogwarts kind of. Can you all record a point of fleeting luck, please?
We've got to find this thing and get the fuck out of here.
Well, first thing, we've got to make sure no one comes into that door.
That's true. So is there anything we can barricade the door with, Peter?
Sandbags.
Up there.
Yeah, there are bags filled with grain and barrels and stuff like that. You can shovel those up against the wall, yeah. Excellent. Well, a flight of stout wooden stairs accesses this low-ceilinged room of mortared brick. Crates and barrels are stacked along the east and west walls, dusty and disused. Niches in the walls contain thick, spluttering candles that lend dim light and far too much smoke to this room. In the north wall is a large, circular iron door.
Jesus, that was loud.
It's a lot of smoke.
Can you move the microphone away next time you're going to do that?
I don't think so, no.
I am your father, Luke.
In the north wall is a large circular iron door. A complex-looking lock is integrated into the portal's face. Strange symbols ring the circumference of the door.
Oh, dear.
Where could the key be?
I don't have any thieves' tools. I didn't have enough money.
You're a thief. You don't have thieves' tools.
No, because they were 25 gold pieces. I didn't have that much money. I couldn't afford them.
You actually saying this? Because it's pretty appropriate.
You should have stolen them. Everyone looks at you. Thief.
Come on, man. Everyone looks at you and you go,
oh, God, dude, they were too expensive. Hey, I just got here on a boat from the fucking
Maybe we could burn it down
waste.
With one of your torches.
I came here from the far northern waste where I was thrown out by my people. For reasons I'll explain later, I have nothing. The only reason I'm here is to try and get something.
Iblis, wait. I just got to get my violin out of my backpack.
You'll keep, Farfeard. Let me have a look at this door.
What else is in the room? Right.
Okay. Well, as I said, the rest of the room is just unused, dusty crates and barrels, candles, and just a whole lot of junk, really. It's an average basement full of shit.
Okay, I'll go through of the junk. Is there any junk lying around that consists of things like loose bits of long pieces of metal or anything that could be used to work on a lock?
Can you make a
spare bag of thieves' tools just lying around?
Make a luck test, please.
Yes! Oh! Eight!
Oh, yes! Oh, excellent. All right. Well, you find a, after rummaging through some crates and everything, you find a small box, and in it you've got some, what appear to be some kind of woman's, you know, kind of brooches or hair ornaments that consist of, you know, like hair clips and things that consist of long pieces of metal that could do double duty as lockpicks.
Okay. Then I'll get those out.
So this door is actually, so it's not like a safe, it's actually, is it a big door or is it a little sort of safe door in the set?
No, it's a large circular iron door. It's like, you know, 10 foot in circumference. It seems to be made of thick iron, but it's hard to tell. And it's, as I said, there's a complex lock in the middle, and in the circumference of the portal has got, it has strange symbols carved into it all around the outside.
Can the magician tell if there's anything magical about these symbols? Is there going to
have a look
with us if we
Comprehend languages. Caster can understand non-magical words or images such as treasure maps that would otherwise be unintelligible.
You can also make an intelligence check.
Okay. Let's do that. So that's just like a d20, right? That would be 16.
Ooh, 15. Nice. Okay. 16. Well, you do identify them. Yeah, great.
16 with a plus 1.
You do it. Good. Yep, no, you got it.
15 plus 1.
You're right,
16.
You got it. Yep. Is that plus 1? That's 16, right?
Yeah.
Yep,
plus
15
one.
Plus 1, 16. If you take the 1 away from the 16, you get 15.
Okay, you identify them as strange magical symbols from eastern lands that that will actually interfere with sorcerers' attempts to open this door.
So I should point out that now I've found something that I think might work as dodgy thieves' tools. I'm only a first-level thief.
Yes.
So I'm not particularly good at these things, but I'm going to have a go. So can somebody go and keep an ear out for the door while I have a go?
Yep.
19.
Plus 3.
Nice.
Pick lock 22.
22.
Fuck on that.
That is remarkable. You just walk up and you take out these women's
brooches
and hair clips. Dude. And you shove them in. You shove them into this amazingly complex.
He sort of closes his eyes, goes, "Holy shit, what am I doing?" So
this bizarre lock of cunning. Bizarre lock of cunning Eastern manufacture from distant lands, and you just shove it in. You twiddle around a bit, and there's this click.
We clap. We look at it.
Whatever else is in this vault, the key of the unwitnessed sisterhood is mine.
I seriously think that you have found a lucky lockpick. That's my opinion.
I don't think it works like that, dude.
Okay, I'll do a fine trap.
Roll away.
Oh. 16.
Oh. 16, nice. No, you can't find any other indication of traps.
Okay, I'll grab one of the candles out of the niche and go in.
Okay, so you grab a candle and you, holding the candle with one hand, your other hand pulls on the iron portal and it swings open quite handily. You see that the door is about 6 inches thick, solid iron, and you swing it open and in front of you, you hear low angry growls and hissing ringing through a stone chamber as a number of large spotted cats slink towards you, their tails whipping the air furiously.
Catamounts.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Beyond the tawny beast stands a forbidding-looking door.
Hey, Iblis, the key's yours. Just go get it, dude.
Can I pull the door closed?
Yes, I want you to make an agility test to see if you can close the door in time before they run towards you.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no. Right, the first one lunges forward and sort of pushes you off balance and you go shoving backwards. And two what look like jaguars, not that you've ever seen jaguars before, but...
Can we do an initiative?
Come bounding into the chamber. You certainly can. So, everybody roll initiative. Okay. There's two of them, by the way.
Be most interested. Oh. Okay, so I'm 20. Chris
Mine's 11.
Okay, so, Will, even though they come lunging towards you and cause you to step back from the door, your reflexes are just lightning fast, probably brought on by the incredible flow of confidence that's just gone through you after unpicking that lock so successfully. So you are the first to act.
Have they come out through the door yet?
Yes, they have. They're coming through the door, and you're sort of stepping backwards. But you
They're coming through the door.
Yes, you didn't shut the door in time. You weren't fast enough, but you are fast enough to strike first if you wish.
All right. Well, I'll slash at the nearest one with my dagger, my trusty fucking dagger.
A two.
You stumble backwards. Yep, you're too rattled by the fact that two jaguars are jumping towards you. Andrew.
You've got certain strengths. Okay, so I roll
open the door. It's very impressive.
My deed dice.
That needed a 20 to unlock that door.
And I get... Jesus.
Unbelievable.
I got a 3.
You realize you're going to be dining on that, out on that for weeks.
Yes. So I got a 3.
You got a 3. A 3.
A 3?
No. My deed dice is 3. I then add that to my 20.
Okay. What are these deed dice?
Mighty deed. Deed dice? Mighty deed.
No. Warriors get deed dice.
So I rolled 13 plus 2, so 15.
Right, that is a hit.
Okay, and then I do damage. Right.
So battle axe just comes out of nowhere.
Is 7 plus 3 plus 1, 10, 11.
Jesus Christ. Okay, you just chop the hindquarters off the first one. The next one sort of goes, sort of slips in the blood stain.
Okay, I don't think I'm interested in touching these things, so I'm going to try my first force manipulation spell. Not the first time I've cast this, of course, but first one in this particular, encounter.
With these particular, this particular...
Yeah, I've cast this so many times,
Times, it's just de rigueur.
All right, so I'm going to cast a force manipulation spell.
Right, first, two. Before you do this, can you roll a d4 for the manifestation? And I believe this is how it happens from now on.
What? Oh, it's three.
Three.
Three. Blue blocks of energy descend from above to form the object or barrier and then disappear.
Right, so roll your d20 plus 2.
Oh, yeah,
22.
Oh, fucking great. Okay, you call into being a tower shield-sized wall of force at a point within 25 feet. It exists for 2d6 rounds and grants a plus 4 armor class bonus to adjacent characters. The wall cannot move from where it was called into existence, but remains in existence if the caster moves out of range. And you get two of those.
I'm going to put a shield in front of both of these guys. Is that possible in the current melee context?
It'll give a plus 4 armor class bonus to Andrew and Will.
Done.
Because you're behind them. Andrew and Will are up the front attacking it at the moment.
Yeah,
you're behind them. So what you've done is you've just cast this spell and these blue blocks of energy have gone...
That's excellent.
Right.
Get behind the shield.
Two walls.
Behind the shield.
Get behind them. Yeah, they're jaguars. They're not smart enough to go walking around them or anything. They're just going to go into the shield.
Done.
Beautiful.
One of them's already
cool.
One Hang light, on. Wait. If you put two shields in front, is that plus 8? No, because I don't need a shield, but Will needs two.
I like playing with Andrew.
Okay, I'll give you that. Yeah, all right. two shields.
In front of Will.
So that gives you a 19 armor class. Watch me roll a 20.
Bite me.
It's an 11. It just goes against the blue and goes.
My go, is it? All right. Well, if it's clawing at me, I guess I'll just reach through the shield wall and stab it.
Go for it.
That's a 12. Is that a hit?
Do you have any modifiers? Just a 12?
No, I have no modifiers except fleeting luck.
I'm afraid you miss. Well, you can spend a point of fleeting luck.
No, I'm
going to... But we don't know if it'll succeed.
You do. He needs a 13.
No. Okay.
Oh. All right, I'll use the fleeting luck and kill the...
No, don't. We need to open doors and stuff. I'll do it.
Yep. All right, okay.
You're safe behind your shield.
You
do it. All right. Okay, so I roll...
I feel lucky. No.
No, don't feel that lucky. Oh, I got a 3 again.
You got a 3 for your mighty D.
I got a 3. 17, 18.
That is 19. It. Another devastating 19. Battle axe blow. Gee, this battle axe is really rocks.
It's cool, doesn't it? And I'm doing 3 plus 3 plus 1, so that's 7 points of damage.
Seven. It's a devastating slice, but it's not enough to kill it. It's still moving. It's hit and it's wounded, and it's a slice down the flank, and it goes.
Will, do you want to do something?
No, it's Chris's go now.
Chris's round.
I meant Chris.
Just kill it, Chris. Dispatch the fucker.
Well, I'll see if I'm still good with the blue force manipulation. So I'm going to roll another 1d20 plus 2, cast another force. So that it works, right? I'm successful.
Yeah, that works. So you can just hit it with a ball of power.
1d6 per cast level with a range of 25. Okay, 1d6.
So more d6. Blocks of blue energy go into your hand, and then you throw it.
Six damage. Oh, smashed it.
I'm good with the blue.
Feline.
I'm wearing blue, and I'm pulling down blue, man.
Yeah, you're like the blue dude. You're like the blue man
the
group.
Blue dude, man. I don't know, it's to be determined, but so far so good.
Yeah, okay, so it flies back onto this devastating blow in its head and just goes... Go lie still.
Dude, well done. Blue stuff. Good blue stuff.
That's pretty good.
What's behind the door?
Okay, so you look in and you see it's a room which is, how large is it? Yeah, it's smaller than the basement room. It's like a, you know, rectangular room. You're coming in one of the long sides. It's about maybe 15 by 25 feet. You're coming in one of the long sides. Opposite you, there's another portal. The room itself has... It only contains scraps of bloodied meat, a low sand-filled box containing cat scat, and a clay bucket with a rope handle, and the bucket appears to be filled with fresh water. And you also see that the ceiling of the room has a 3-foot square shaft running up into the darkness.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's how they feed it. They drop stuff down through the hole.
Directly opposite you, there's a stout bronze door of curiously crimson tint, barring further passage into Ygritte's vault. The face of the door is inscribed with flame-like patterns, and strange sigils line the edges of the valve. A single keyhole set in the middle of a circular plate rests in the dead center of the door.
Use a lucky pick.
Okay, a couple of things. Let's not get locked in here.
Yes, so, can you...
Yeah.
Let's jam the door open. For a start, so can somebody, could you drag a barrel or something to anything that's in the storeroom just to chock open the vault door? Okay, so you get something
I
heavy.
Can lift a lot.
Chris, sorry, TBD, can you read these runes?
Oh!
Plus one, 20!
20! Fantastic!
Unbelievable!
It's amazing.
Yes.
Very impressed. Your skills are all just taken off.
Just
okay.
Wish we'd kept that roll for my unlock roll.
You realize this is some kind of strange magical door created by the fire sorcerers of the East.
Yes, hooties and birdies.
I suspect we're going to have to go into that party and find a key, but anyway.
Ah, Christ. How are we going to
What's
do that?
Smell?
There's no way you'll be able to mingle.
What's that smell?
I am a mingle.
Cat, man. It's cat jaguar poo. It does
We're
smell quite cutty in here.
I mean, look, at this point, are we supposed to give up in despair? I mean, what the hell?
No. We can go in there and find out where he keeps the key. And if the worst comes to the worst,
I've never
we can
heard
cut his balls
such
off.
A lame... Lame thing come from an adventurer in a role-playing game in my entire life.
You lose a point of luck.
That's,
how are we supposed
I'm really
to do
tempted.
This?
I'm really tempted to take away your point of fleeting luck for that statement.
No, because this is the point.
Will,
so,
This is heroic fantasy, my friend.
This is we'll play character, because his character is not a heroic fantasy.
This is my point. This is precisely the point I'm about to make. Iblis the Thug is outcast from his family. He's managed to get through. He's got through all this sort of stuff. He gets to here and he goes, oh, my God, I thought it was going to be possible, and now he's just fallen into a state of abject despair for a moment.
It's beautiful. Right?
Because he's
it's
been told.
To watch.
Because the wizard he's just met has told him, oh, it's a fire wizard protected magic fucking door. And he's going, well, I only got through the last one
that thing.
By sheer blind chance. What are my chances of getting through this one without getting toasted?
No, that's not true. That's not true. You picked up a hairpin. That is a lucky lockpick, my friend. That should be noted on your character sheet as a lucky lockpick.
Try it again, Walt.
Try it again.
Do it again, but I'm standing well back.
You stumble across some magical artifacts on it.
So what are you telling me is you want me to risk being struck down by a huge column of fire to open the door so that when I die, you can take the key of the unwitnessed sisterhood?
I could deny that, and I could say no, but I'd be lying.
So why did Will stop playing D&D? Oh, because it was too hard.
Mike got hit by a column of fire.
I'm just trying. Okay, at this point, if we're serious that we have to get a key, then TBD is the one who's got to do it because he knows somebody in the party.
Yeah, but we can also wander around as thugs. We can wander around as thugs, but before we do that...
Yeah, well, I can. I can wander around as a waiter. I don't know what you're going to do.
Give it a go. I just go around as a thug. Hired muscle. But before we do that, we should try it. And when I say we should try it, I mean, well, you should try it.
You should try it.
I know he smells like a crow out of a sewer, but...
I'll go up and have a look at the lock, and I'll do a check for traps. 3. Yes, I'm not going to find anything.
You don't find anything.
I'm going to have a look.
There does not appear to be any traps on this door.
Those glowing red sigils mean nothing. Yeah, I have a really bad feeling about this door, fellas. I'm not too sure about having a go at this door.
Oh God, I love this. So much fun.
I didn't find a trap, so therefore there are no traps. So
absolutely.
I'm going to try and make the lock. Okay.
Put the towel around your head.
Stand back.
Oh, we are.
All,
oh, we are.
I'm an outcast. The only thing I've got going in my favor is that I always know where north is. So I might as well.
Okay. Yeah. Well, north is not anywhere near where I am at the moment because I'm stepping well back. No, I'm just guarding the door. I'm just going to go make sure I'm guarding the door. Okay? I'll go guard the door.
Peter, I'd like to root around in the kitty litter.
He wants to scrabble around the kitty litter because...
I'm going to search
because
the room.
Beer does strange things to people.
Yeah, I'm going to search the...
That's a good point.
I'm not
and the water.
Listen at the door because Andrew is listening at the door. I'm going to search the room, including the kitty litter.
And the water. The key is in the... Maybe the key is at the bottom of the barrel.
What else is it? Whatever is in the room.
Okay, well, I can tell you it's a bare room apart from, you know, like a bit of sort of sand on the floor and grit and grot. There's
didn't even catch jag... straw to lie in.
Yeah, there's a bit of straw, yeah. There's cat shit in the box and nothing else. So you just sort of scrabble around the cat shit for a while.
I'll just upend the box. Does a key drop out anywhere?
No, just
right.
Just sand and shit.
Okay, upend the bucket.
Do you want to open the bucket? It's full of water.
Oh, look, I'll just check the bucket. Is there anything in it?
No, it's just full of water. The ceiling is 10 foot high, and then the shaft runs 20 feet up to a metal grate. The bucket full of water is a clay bucket with a rope handle.
In fact, I'll just smash the bucket.
Okay, you smash it. Water goes whoosh everywhere.
You didn't want to throw it on the door?
Right now.
This is degrading. Fast.
I've never seen such fear on the faces of adventurers in my life.
All right, well, I'll go and have a go at the lock.
All right, so you whip out your lucky pick.
Here we go.
It's a lucky pick. It is a lucky pick. Fair income. I mean, who finds a hairpin like that? You know, hidden in this
cocked
like...
to me.
That's cocked. We'll call it a 17.
That's
Is that a 17 or a 3? I'd say that's
a 17. It's a 17.
And you see, before you, there's suddenly a wall of flame, and you're sort of taken aback. It doesn't damage you or anything, but the whole area of the portal is suddenly a wall of flame, and the circular piece of metal with the lock in it is floating in the center of the flames, and you feel this heat just hit you violently. You see, stagger back.
Guess I shouldn't have smashed the bucket then.
So the whole area of the round portal is now a wall of flame, except for a circular metal plate floating in the middle of it with the key in the middle, with the lock in the middle. And right, like Chris, can you make another intelligence check, please?
Wait.
Okay. Chris, you realize, because you were so lucky, you did such a good job with your initial roll to find out what this is about. You realize now that how this door works, because you've heard tell of these strange Eastern sorcerers who create these doors. And you realize that the door's flames can be extinguished by unweaving the magic that created them. It's like counterspelling. So you've got to successfully cast any non-offensive spell to build a magical conduit. And if that is successful, you can then attempt to unweave the magic, holding the flames intact.
Do your easiest non-offensive spell.
Okay, well, comprehend languages, because I'm still like trying to figure out how the door works. So that's a reasonable fit.
Yep,
and
sure.
That will be 1d20 plus 2. No, 11 is a lost failure. Yes.
No, it's not strong enough, unfortunately. So you've lost that spell, and you haven't successfully formed the conduit.
Can he do another one?
We'll try another spell. Negative. It doesn't matter what its effect is, because it's not going to apply in this case.
Enlarge, here we go.
Which one's negative energy? I can't see that.
18!
Nice. 20. Okay, so you go up to this wall of flames, and you get close, and you go. You can see just energy flowing off your palms and fingers, and just flowing into the flaming door.
Blue energy
into the red flames. Now,
this is how it's going to work. This is where you're trying to unweave the door's magic. So you've got you're going to make a spell check as normal. And I'm going to roll d20 plus 2, so it's basically exactly the same, because you've got d20 plus 2. And whoever is higher is successful. So
may have to roll you some luck. Don't forget luck.
I'll roll first. Here we go.
Okay.
16 in total.
And I'm rolling and I'm rolling 1 d20 plus 2.
Oh, yes!
Oh! Fantastic. So, as we're going, you see that as the rest of you are watching in amazement at this magical shenanigans, you see the intensity of the flames goes and lowers a bit. They're still strong, but you can see that they've definitely gone down and lowered in intensity.
Is that it?
We have to do it again.
You've got to do it again.
Oh, gee.
Well, it depends. They've lowered intensity.
Okay, maybe you could step through.
I'll go up to the wall, to the door, and just how hot is it standing right next to it?
Pretty hot. Like, would probably damage you hot, but how much it would damage you, you don't know.
Okay, boys, hang on.
Maybe I'll try again.
Stop. Hang on. Wait.
You're still there. You've still got the conduit. You don't want to break the conduit.
Okay, stop. Is there any water left? Because if we can get in one of the other, is there something that we can get like a Hessian sack or something and put it in something liquid, not oil, and cover that and then jump through to help protect ourselves?
Yeah.
If only we had a clay container full of water.
But surely there'd be some clay container or something. Is there any liquid? Yeah. Is there any other liquid in the cellar? Leaving aside Will's stupidity, is there any other liquid in the cellar?
There'd be some old barrels of wine, but no water.
Wine's not going to burn. That's a high level of water.
Well, let me. I can keep trying to draw on this thing. You know, I'm already drawing it. So,
all right. Do you want to try again, Chris?
Worst thing that happened is
there any downside?
It'll go back again.
What you've discovered? Yes or no?
Well, I'm going to keep going.
Okay, right. One more time.
Successful so far, I may as well keep it up.
I rolled 2 for a total of 4.
Whoa! No!
Okay, you see the intensity of the flames goes down even more. It's still there, but it's nowhere near as strong as it was initially. Now it's probably...
Okay, Andrew, just dive through the fucking door.
You're still holding the
cradle. I just get a Hessian sack,
I'm going to keep going.
No. You don't need to. I just dip it, get a Hessian sack, dip it in the wine. No, don't. It's fine. Just stop. Dip it in the wine.
Pretty well.
Yeah, until he doesn't, and then we're fucked.
Oh, no, he's...
He's what?
Well, I love it. We don't know whether the flames will come back if you fail, Chris.
I fail.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What?
Okay, so can I hold it at this position?
Yeah. Yeah. Awkward. I dip a Hessian sack in wine. I cover myself in it, and then I jump through the door.
Okay. You jump through the flames. Fantastic. Okay, here we go. Make a reflex save.
Oh, what the fuck is that?
Reflex save. Could you see what was on the other side or not? I guess it's too late to ask that.
Vague shapes. Can't tell.
What's a reflex save?
Reflex save is agility. D20 save, but you've got an agility modifier if you do.
I have one. Modifier. Yeah, I do. Plus one. Okay. D20 plus one.
Oh, yes. 12. You make the save. So that reduces the damage by half. It does D6 damage, reduces by half, and I'm also going to reduce that by D3 for the sack as well. There's a D6. Here we go.
I was about to follow D6 you, but damage. I've only got 2 hit points.
I roll a 2. That's 1 damage.
1.
And reduced by the sack, you get no damage. So you go plunging through. You find yourself in a small room. The sack is smouldering. It's got little flames on it. You just whip it off and go... and you spit all over your computer. And you go through unscathed. You're just a little bit scalded, but you're unscathed.
I smell a bit.
And more.
What Chris do we still, see? You look around and you see Chris, this hazy form of Chris still going...
Okay, I better hurry up. Okay, what do I see? What's there? What's here?
Okay, right. Beyond the bronze flame-inscribed door is a surprisingly small chamber measuring less than 10 feet square. Rows of mostly bare shelves line the walls. A small coffer, a chain-link bag, and a wooden box are the only objects apparent.
Throw them all
I grab
through.
Them. I throw them through. Actually, I wrap the wooden one.
With you.
You see that there are clean patches on the shelves as though, you know, he's
going skint. He's spending a lot of money to stay fashionable. Okay, I grab them all and I jump through.
Are you covering yourself with the thing?
Yep.
Roll.
And I jump through and I roll. Hang on, die 20.
Six.
Nope. The modifier. 7. Don't do it. Nope.
No, you don't. So you do D6 damage. That is a 4, and then I'm going to reduce it by D3, but for the wet sack, just 2. So you do 2 damage.
Cool. Okay, I'm down to 12.
Okay,
and
so
I've got
a
wet sack.
Oh, there's bits of flames
on
him.
Ouch! Drop and roll. Where's the water when you need it? Actually, the floor's wet. The floor's
just
wet. I roll in the puddle. The floor's wet.
Okay, Chris, what are you going to do? You're still going. Are you going to break the conduit?
Yes.
Right. And the flames go increasing intensity. You go back again. Then it goes, and it all becomes iron again.
Oh wow. Yeah, good call, Andrew, not to, you know.
Nice work, boys.
Yeah.
Cool, well that was good.
Jeez, there was with some different roles, that would have been a very different outcome.
Everything would have been different.
Absolutely.
Now that the sound of the flames has disappeared, you hear... coming on the door outside.
Okay, boys, who's the tallest?
You.
I'm sorry, can we get out the top? Can we stand on our shoulders and jump out the top? Or do we just go bolt out and kill everybody?
Okay,
He's
a thief.
Okay, all right. So I tell you what, this is what we should do. We should close the vault door, like remove the block from it so that it looks like no one's even in here. Okay, and then we
even better, even better. So, what? Sorry, so I agree, but let's grab some of those barrels and put them under the hole.
Hmm.
And we can stand on those.
That's what I was going to say. Let's get a barrel.
Okay. Grab a barrel, we grab some barrels, roll them into the vault, and then close the vault.
Okay, Dorcas. Okay, now I'll get up on your shoulder, you far-feared, and you push me up into the thing, and I'll climb up.
Yep.
Okay. Well,
have you got a rope?
Sheer surfaces.
I have got a rope. Yes, I have my rope.
You've got a 50 foot of rope, haven't you? 50 feet of it, I believe. I do.
Well, yeah.
It's not quite climbing sheer surface because he's actually got his back. He's actually hedging.
Yeah, it's just a chimney. It's not
just
a problem.
He's
at
got
all,
his back against it, so it's not. He's just edging his way up.
Well, he gets an extra for climbing sheer surfaces, so it's probably a good thing to do.
Oh, but it shouldn't be thought. It shouldn't be tested for. Yeah.
16.
Nice work. Okay, you shimmy up the passageway and you find yourself at a metal grate that appears to be locked.
Why would it be locked?
Who locks a grate? Why would you even have a lock on it? But anyway,
tie the rope to it so that you don't slide.
Take out your lucky pick.
Yep. Good point.
Hang on, wait. Well, first, he ties the knot to the grate and he ties it to himself. So if he slips, he won't fall.
Mm-hmm.
Very good point. I'll belay myself. And now I'm going to do pick
lock.
You
won't want to blow yourself because you have to use your hands to blow yourself. So you should just stay wedged.
Well, you know what I mean.
Pick a lock.
Yeah. I've got myself wedged in there.
It's only 3 feet wide.
Hands to blow. I don't need the rope around. I'll just wedge myself. That's fine. So here we go. Pick lock. Oh, dear.
Three. No.
Okay.
I'll go up there. Can I break it using strength?
You can certainly try, yeah.
Okay, do you want to leave?
I can't pick this. I'll tie the rope around and I'll shimmy down the rope. Can we hear them? Are they trying to get in through that door now? Have they come in?
Well,
it's
like 6 inches of iron, so no, you can't hear anything.
Okay, well, so can I have another go?
Give it another go.
All right, here we go. That's a 9. That's not a significantly better roll. All right, I'll climb down. So I can't work it out. See if you can break it.
Okay, what do I need to break it?
Okay, first you've got to get up the shaft, so you need a...
with a rope?
By strength. Oh, you got a rope. Yeah, okay, fine. Fair enough.
Yeah, I've tied the rope to the grill.
Yep.
By the way, is there anyone in the room above the grill?
As you get up there, you start hearing noise and activity and everything, and you realise that the grill goes up into a small room, and there seems to be lots of shelves with things on them and possibly foodstuffs and stuff like that.
Something for you to eat when we get out there.
Pantry.
Okay. So I have to. So I've got a strength of 13, which means you get modifier of 1. Just roll a die 20.
Put your shoulder into it.
13.
No.
14.
Plus 1.
It doesn't work. Can you enlarge the thing? Force. Just smash it.
I can enlarge him, maybe.
Enlarge the grill to the point where it just busts out of the
burst.
The thing.
Oh,
it's
that's a good idea.
Yeah, that's
good. I'll give it a go.
Nice. Get Farfeet out of the way first. We don't need him. He'll get stuck in the shaft.
It'll just pop out the top like a pimple.
Or my shaft will get stuck.
So if you touch the grill,
I think it's a good idea. It's definitely worth a go.
Okay,
I think it's got to
enlarge the point where it bursts.
Everyone, you hear an audible click and the door starts moving in.
Oh, fuck.
I step up to it.
Yep.
In? No safe door ever opened in? Opened in?
Oh,
no, but it's
out.
Safes only open out.
Okay, opens out.
Okay.
And as it opens, I slam down with my axe at whoever happens to be standing there.
Wait, I'm doing this enlarged spell.
Yeah, but I'm doing this at the same time.
Okay. Okay. Let's do the let's do Andrew first.
Okay, I only got 1 for Mighty Deed this time.
On the other
7, 8, 9. I got 9.
Yep. Whoever's on the other side of the door just dodges out of the way, and your battle axe just slides down the outside of the iron door.
Okay, I'm going to rush to the other to the wall next to where the door opens.
Yes. So the safe opens outwards, right? So I'm going to back up against the door with my knife ready. So whoever comes through, I can backstab.
Excellent. Okay. Chris, you're going to cast any light spell?
Chris is up in the shaft.
I'm up the rope.
Hanging onto the rope, casting enlarge. Interestingly enough, when you cast enlarge, make sure you're not hanging onto the rope. Make sure you've got your back.
Okay, I'm going to wedge myself into the shaft, and I'm going to take a big breath.
First. Roll a d4 for the manifestation first.
Would be.
But four.
That's a four. The target reverse ages to the size and appearance of a baby, then amazingly grows back to adult appearance at larger than its former size. Well, that just does not work at all.
Eight.
Oh, no. Ten.
Eight.
No.
Maybe we need a bit of luck here.
Oh, no. So what that brings you
to do a reroll?
Yeah, you can get to 12.
What?
Well, you just rolled an 8, so you've got to 10. If you get to 12, you can increase it in mass and size and mass by 10%, which will be enough.
So yeah, I have to burn two luck. I'm going to do it. So my luck goes down to 11 of 13, correct? Is that how I record that?
You got fleeting. You got point of fleeting.
You got a fleeting luck. Use that.
Oh, true.
Can't we lend him fleeting luck?
Yeah, you probably can, actually. Yeah.
I'll lend him a fleeting luck. So I'll get rid of mine, so I got none.
Okay, so the grill goes whoosh, and the lock just breaks up off and you can get through. Right, at that point, the door goes and shoves open shoves back quite violently, and you see three men standing there.
Well, I think I'm going to have to come back down, yeah.
You could climb up, push out the grate, and then attach the rope.
Secure the rope.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be a really good idea.
We need an exit.
And then back down and help us kill these bastards.
Okay.
You see standing in front of you three grotty men who sort of dressed in the grotty streetwear, but they're probably thieves. They've got that look about them. They look like people from the thieves. They look like scum from the Thieves Guild.
They've come for it as well.
Who the fuck are you? And then come at you with daggers. Roll for initiative.
21.
Oh, beat that.
You're ready for them. Ready for them. We were. Well positioned.
Okay, Will, what do you get?
I got 16 and I'm in a backstab position.
Okay. So, Andrew, what do you do?
Oh, it was Chris's initiative.
Okay, rolled a 15.
Nice. Okay.
I got 3 for my D dice.
Yep.
So I'm rolling a D20. So that's 10 plus 3 plus 2, so that's 15.
That does it. Your battle axe connects.
And the damage, 3, 6, 7.
Oh, it's all so messy and violent. Oh, that's horrible. Okay, so they go, who the fuck are you? Wield their daggers and you just go, one of them falls. Intestines everywhere.
And then I say, and I have to read the script because I can't remember the name of it. Say hello to ugly fucking skull split and brain sprout and life slicey thingy. Oh, he's gone. Where's everybody gone? Will, you'll go. Okay, backstab.
It's your go, but unfortunately they haven't come through the door yet. They're just sort of right on the threshold. I suppose you could go for one of them anyway. He's right on the threshold because the door opened their way, so yeah.
But I want to do a backstab, not just some shitty 1d4 damage.
Yeah, no, they're not looking at you. You're hiding, so do a backstab.
Yeah, okay, I can get away with it. All right. Okay, then I will attack.
They're slightly distracted by the fact that one of them just got chopped in two by a battle axe.
Yep, well, that'll do it.
It can't be distracting.
Two. Oh. For fuck's sake.
No.
We do play to our skills, don't we?
Oh, dear. Jesus. I've been very good at some things, but fighting isn't one of them.
Oh, okay, there's two left, and one of them goes for Chris. I presume you're not doing it. What are you doing, Chris? Okay, you clamber into a small room, which is immediately obvious is a pantry with one closed door. You can hear sounds of activity on the other side of the door.
Okay, is there something I can secure the rope to?
Yep.
By the grate.
Or put on. Okay, I'll tie the rope to.
You can tie it on the shelves.
Okay, I'll tie the rope to the heaviest looking thing I can see, and then I'll come back down the rope. Yeah, next turn.
Yeah, I'll do that
next round.
Turn.
Yeah.
Okay, so the thieves. One of them goes for Will. One of them goes for Andrew, slashes with a dagger. 13. What's your armor class?
My armor class is 13.
That's a hit. So that does 2 points of damage.
Okay.
Ah! And the other 10. One slashes at you, Will. You make this sort of ineffectual stab at behind him and just miss him completely. It goes past his shoulder and he goes, what the fuck? Spins round, hacks at you with a dagger. What's your armor class?
Good.
11.
That's 11.
It's a one.
Oh, he fumbles. Oh,
thank the fucking Lord for that.
That's a fumble. 8. He actually inadvertently swings at one randomly determined ally within range. Oh, yeah, and he's a guy. So he swings at you. You duck out of the way, and he keeps going with his blow, and it almost hacks into his friend. So he rolls an 8. No, but he misses his friend. That would have been funny. Okay, Andrew.
3. Wow.
That's an 8.
Plus 3 plus 2. So that's 13.
13. You just managed to connect with your battle axe.
And
all damage.
The tip is extra sharp, of course.
No, oh, 8.
9, 10, 11, 12 points of damage.
The guy's head just goes like a soccer ball against the wall.
Because he was looking down. What are you? His friend almost hit him, and he goes, "What are you doing?"
Exactly. Distracted for the last time. Will. Well, is there still one standing?
Make him surrender.
The one you missed.
No, I don't want him to surrender. I want to kill him.
I want to know who he is, why they sent him.
Then he can cut his throat.
What's his status? Where is he? What's he doing?
Well, he's slightly confused because he evaded the blow from you and then tried to hit back, but it almost killed his own guy, his own friend.
Then lost his head.
I'm just doing a straight attack.
He then just lost his head.
Then?
So, yeah, just straight attack, yeah. It's a 6. Yep, no, unfortunately you miss. Chris.
Should have stuck him with the lockpick.
You're not going to make it in time if you're going down there.
However, I would go down the rope, so I'm going to head down the rope.
Okay, head down the rope. So the thief goes for Will. Oh, dear, oh, dear. What's your armor class?
11.
7. 2! It's a 2!
Oh, my God!
I'm not bullshitting you. There's the dice.
Devil.
Unbelievable luck. Andrew, would you like to perform the coup de grace?
Or do we
please?
Kill him? Oh yeah, we'll kill him. We'll kill him.
He's just just kill him.
If in doubt, kill him. Okay, go to 2.
If in doubt, delete.
I may miss him. 14. If I hit, can I pull my punches?
Well, you already rolled, so you rolled with a
no. I've damaged. No, I've hit, but can I pull my punch? I hit him, and I go.
Strictly speaking, you should tell me that before you actually make the hit. But
4. 6, 7, 8.
Yeah,
8 points of damage.
He's very dead. Very, very dead.
You should have pulled that blow. We could have learned something from him.
All right, let's get the hell out of here.
You're down in the basement of this party. You've got to get out somehow. There's a whole lot of bodies lying around you and a hell of a lot of blood. There's a way to get up through the pantry, it seems. Somehow you've got to get out of this house. And I think we'll call it there. What do you reckon?
Yes, I think so.
Yes, like it. Great game. That was. I just love the way everybody's strength, every strength worked, and every weakness failed dismally.
That was really good. Everybody used their own kind of skills. It was really, really nice.
Yeah, it was. It's good. Yeah, team effort. Mm-hmm.